From the set of Republic Christianity, you're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Well, many Australians, pretty safe to say, love a drink. But I think we're also aware that alcohol can be a problem. And the link between alcohol and violence, especially, has been getting a lot of attention in the past few years.
It wasn't too long ago that here in Sydney, the state government introduced lockout laws to crack down on alcohol-fuelled violence. They came into force after a tragic string of fatal one-punch attacks, and they've been hugely controversial. A recent review recommended that these laws be relaxed, saying that employment opportunities, not to mention the city's vibrant nightlife, have suffered. But the review did find that the laws made the city safer. Violence has gone down, and admissions to inner city emergency departments have gone down as well.
So that's definitely one way to go about it. In Melbourne, they don't have lockout laws, but they have introduced things like ID scanners at the front door of late night venues and 24/7 transport and a bunch of other initiatives to try to curb alcohol-related violence. But I also came across something pretty different in one area of Melbourne, the Yarra. They call themselves street pastors. But don't let their name confuse you. They aren't church ministers with a degree in divinity. They use the name pastor in the way that someone might talk about pastoral work or caring for others. They're just ordinary people looking to care for others on the streets. Basically, a bunch of volunteers hit the streets of Melbourne's late night districts every Saturday night, looking after the drunk and disorderly. They hand out bottles of water, sweep up broken glass. They even help people into cabs to make sure they get home safely. And by all accounts, including a glowing review from the Yarra police inspector, their presence has yielded some real results, including a reduction in crime and violence.
So we sent our producer, Karen Tong, to the streets of Melbourne to spend some time with this motley crew. Here's the story.
So it's still quite early in the night. So we've really actually just been, because it's a new area, we've been introducing ourselves to the doormen. And there's been a reasonable amount of people asking what street pastors, what's a street pastor? So we've stopped and explained that to a few people.
This is Andrew Settley. When I ask him to describe himself, he says he's a clinical nurse specialist by day at the Austin Hospital in Melbourne and a street pastor by night.
What do you say when you explain it?
So I normally say that we are a group of volunteers from local churches, and we come out with the view to listen, care and help, to engage with people and to try and make sure people get home safely have a good time, go home in one piece.
I'm walking with Andrew and Doug, here's another street pastor, down Brunswick Street in Fitzroy. They're wearing navy blue windbreakers with street pastor written in bold reflective letters on the back. And they have caps on too, also labelled street pastor. We stop for a minute outside Naked for Satan. It's a new establishment with a rooftop bar. They sort of stand out next to a queue of 20-somethings dressed in ripped jeans and short skirts.
Oh, yeah, there it is. I'd quite like to go and see their roof garden, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Do you want to call in and see where we go for a ride up this Naked Satan?
Doug's been a street pastor for around 2 years. He won't tell me his age, just that he's over 60. And he's tall, over 6 feet tall. I asked him what a typical night as a street pastor involves.
Mainly just walking up and down the street, meeting people, talking to them. Sometimes we answer questions. We talk to the bouncers, pick up bottles and glass that have been left on the street that is potential problems for somebody. People who need help, somebody who can't look after themselves, we help look after them, make sure they're safe, help them to be able to get home.
It's around 1 a.m, there's a light drizzle, and we're approaching a man packing down some tables and chairs outside his bar. It's a little hard to hear, but Hugo, the bar owner, says...
There's some folks at this time of the night that probably need some assistance.
Doug replies...
That's what we're out for.
Oh, okay. This is my bar here.
Hugo again.
Nice to... Yeah, this time of night, sometimes folks need a bit of love.
Yeah, that's right.
A bit of love.
So you keep count of the bottles?
We normally keep a count of how many bottles, how many sweep-ups, how many sometimes people ask us what's the street pastor, how many acts of reassurance we do, first aid, how many times we call the ambulance, all those kind of things.
At one point during the night, we're standing outside a nightclub and someone drops a glass bottle from a balcony. The street pastors move quickly to the shattered glass and sweep it up. They do this, Andrew says, so that the girls, when they come out of the clubs at 2 or 3 a.m. and they've taken their heels off, they don't cut their feet on the broken glass. Also, the bottles can be used as weapons, so they're trying to prevent that as well.
We were out once and there was a group of blokes and there was a whole row of wheelie bins, and as they were going along they pulled every single one over and we went behind them and we picked one up, and we were laughing because we were thinking, they turned around and looked back, they're going to be, how on earth did that happen, you know, like we pulled everyone over and they're all standing up again. So we just try and, I know it makes it sound like Boy Scouts, you know, but like trying to, you know, like if you were that householder coming out in the morning and your bin was knocked over with rubbish all over the place, it would be upsetting, you know?
Street Pastors has been operating in Melbourne for close to 3 years, but it actually started in the UK back in 2003. Andrew was in one of the early Street Pastor teams in Plymouth on the south coast of England. It's where he grew up.
So when I was a teenager, my friends used to go out every Saturday night and they would come back with their stories of punch-ups and getting so drunk they couldn't remember the weekend, and actually that seemed to be the bit they liked, which I always found odd. And I was always really frightened about going out into these areas. Plymouth, where I come from, in the UK, is a naval port, and it gets very violent on the streets. And I was very frightened about going out.
Andrew says he was a reluctant street pastor.
Was that I had a friend who was a street pastor, kept inviting me out and saying, "This is really good, you should give it a go." And I kept putting him off because I really didn't like the idea of staying up all night, picking up drunk people. But eventually I gave in to his persistence and went out and absolutely loved it. Found I was completely hooked, really, the first night I went out.
When Andrew moved to Melbourne in 2011, he started asking around to see if anyone was interested in bringing street pastors to Australia and whether there was a need for it. It turned out there was. After discussions with community organisations and meetings with local councils, they decided to launch in the city of Yarra, starting in one of the area's main entertainment districts, Swan Street.
In terms of the people we're meeting, there's an awful lot of drunk youngsters around who, some of them are on the floor and they can't get up. So we have to, if they're too, you know, we have phoned the ambulance on occasions when someone's been too unwell for us, you know, for us to cope with. But mostly people need hydration, so we give people water, we stay with them, we, like if they're, this sounds revolting, but if they're covered in vomit, we clean them up, because the cabs won't take you. If you're covered in sick, or if you're wobbly on your feet, the cabs won't take you home. So we sober people up. If they're covered in sick, we clean them up. We carry vomit bags for people to be sick into. And there's a lot of small acts of compassion, and there is pulling the hair out of your face when you're being sick, you know, just so that you don't get vomit in your hair. And then we have lollipops so that to take the taste away afterwards. We give out flip-flops to the girls, again, you know, whose feet are killing them, when they're to protect their feet from the glass on the road, etc. And that goes down a storm. And they often find it very hard to believe that we're not selling them and there's no agenda to it. We're just giving them so they don't hurt their feet.
The street pastors aren't just out there on their own, though. They work together with the police. Andrew describes it like this. The police have the law and order side covered, while the street pastors provide care and compassion for the vulnerable. It's a partnership that's played an important role since street pastors started in the UK. Although it had a bit of a rocky start. You see, the police thought at first that they'd have to look after the do-gooders and the drunk and disorderly. They thought the street pastors would be a hassle. But then...
They actually, on virtually the first night, the police were watching the street passers as they went out, and there was a, if you imagine a CCTV control room with the police and the CCTV folks in it, and they were watching the street passers, and there was a lot of the drug dealers in the UK hang around tube stations, and they were watching a group of street passers interacting with a group of drug dealers outside of a tube station, and they were watching as this little street passer lady, older lady, started talking to one of these guys, and this guy actually stopped what he was doing and he bowed his head, and she had her hand on his shoulder and she was praying for him. And the non-Christian policemen and CCTV people were watching this the whole time and went, wow, maybe this could just work.
In Melbourne, the police are just as supportive and they're pretty happy with the results.
I'm Dean McGowan. I'm the local area commander for the city of Yarra. I'm in charge of around 150 police officers, effectively responsible for the policing services of around 90,000 residents across three police stations.
Dean's been working with the street passers for a couple of years since they started out in Swan Street, and that street, before the passers arrived, was designated a dangerous street. Now it's designated a safe street.
The harm in the area that they've been working has diminished that much that they were bored, for want of a better word.
He asked the bored street pastors if they could start working in Fitzroy on Brunswick Street, an area he describes as having more clubs and more crime.
We regularly do crime mapping and overlays on community harm in areas, and clearly Fitzroy and the intersection of Johnston and Brunswick Street was profound and has been profound for the last year or two. So there were opportunities to expand on the program here, and thankfully I'm very grateful that they're stepping outside the comfort zone and seeing new people and seeing new challenges.
Dean says the street passers play an important role in their broken windows model of policing. This is the idea that if you don't fix a small problem in the community, like a broken window or something similar, crime will start to escalate. Dean explains.
If your neighbours or your community leaves the windows smashed, the lawns unmowed, rubbish in the street, drunks lying around, people loitering, what will happen over time is that crime will start to gather. The drunks become breaking into cars, become mugging people and robbing them for their phones, and so on.
It's a controversial model, and there have been mixed results. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes there's a whole raft of new issues attached to this style of policing. But it's also widely acknowledged that these types of community-based initiatives have the potential to make streets safer, if done right. And so far, it looks like the street passers are doing it right.
They walk the street, talk to the vulnerable, those that are at risk of being attacked, and thankfully we live in a safe society, so don't take that out of context. But, you know, help people in the cars, give people water where they need to, put some sandals on feet of women that have broken a heel, and generally say hello to everyone they can. It's around that, that good feeling of just saying g'day to someone late at night and saying we're there to help them when we need to. That's all it takes to change a whole raft of crime issues and social justice problems in Yarra.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Our producer, Karen Tong, is bringing us a story from Melbourne about a group of volunteers, street pastors, who spend their Saturday nights keeping the streets safe.
Hello, Carol here. So he's on a bike. Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, definitely.
While Andrew and Doug are out on Brunswick Street, Carol's back at Fitzroy Police Station. She's a street pastor as well, but tonight Carol is on duty as the prayer pastor.
Okay, I'll pray for him now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, no worries. Thanks, Andrew. Okay, thanks, Andrew. Thank you. Bye. So that was a call from Andrew. They have a crazy guy riding in the middle of the road on a bike, very dangerously, and the cars behind him are getting a bit unhappy about it. So he's asked me to pray that about that situation. So
Every now and then, the street pastors will call the prayer pastor with an update, or they'll ask them to pray about a situation, like if there's someone driving dangerously, or if there's an altercation that the police are trying to sort out, or if they're helping someone in trouble.
All right, then. Yeah, they had a situation too about 11:30 and where there was a girl who was quite sick. She was vomiting and they gave her water and a lollipop to suck. They were struggling. Yeah, she was struggling with everything, you know, but they, eventually we got a bouncer or one of the doormen to go in and he was trying to find the friend. So you can imagine the hundreds of people in those places, you know. And so anyway, eventually I think he found a friend and out she came. But the outcome was in the end, they'd given her a vomit bag and they'd given her water and they'd got her to a state where they could get her in the taxi. But the friend actually just went back inside once she went in the taxi. And it doesn't matter what time of the night or morning it is, you know, they'll just wait with them to make sure they're safe. You know, they won't think, oh, well, it's 3:30, time we knocked off. You know, they're really good. They just hang about and wait.
We had one fellow sitting on a windowsill asleep one night. He shake him by the knee and, hey, matey, you need any help? You okay? Sound asleep again. Talk to him several.
I'm back out on the street again with Doug.
We hailed a cab for him and the cabbie asked where do you want to go and woke him up again. He told us and said, hey mate, we've got a taxi for you. Oh, beauty, he says. And he stood up and he must have been about 6'7" or something. I'm 6'1" and he grabbed me around the head, you know, in a big bear hug. Oh, you're a legend, right, thanks.
Doug's had some pretty interesting experiences as a street pastor. He's become pretty adept at handling drunk people and seems to genuinely enjoy helping them. So you wouldn't be able to tell now, but Doug was not really that keen to volunteer for this job when he first heard about it.
I was never good around drunks. I really didn't know how I was going to go. People that were drunk in the street, I'd rather just walk the other way, dodge around them and have nothing to do with them.
There's a reason for this, he tells me. Growing up and working in his family's hardware store, Doug had some bad run-ins with drunk people.
The shop we had was over the road from a hotel. Guys had come out of the hotel and if they were drunk, they came to the shop, they were just a nuisance and they were a menace. During the night, we weren't there, but they used to make more of a nuisance of themselves or make too much of a nuisance of themselves.
But he was looking for something to do. He'd just wrapped up a 15-year stint as a volunteer for Meals on Wheels when his good friend asked him to give street pastors a go. So he did.
Since I've started doing the street pastor walks with the rest of the guys, I've grown. I've learnt that they're just ordinary people who have either made a mistake or have gone too far and they need help, and we're in a position to be able to give them that help. And when the people ask questions about who we are and what we do, then we're able to share with them why we do it. God first loved us and asked us to pass on that love, that care, giving value to people.
You know, to ask someone to come out on their own volition at 2:00 in the morning and deal unpaid with drunken idiots or vulnerable people, or, you know, whilst I'd like to think they don't put themselves in harm's way, it's a very big ask, and, you know, it's an amazing effort. And I think anyone that's listening to this would be in huge gratitude to people that willingly give up their time on a Saturday night to come and help all of us. And at the end of the day, they're great community-minded people that actually care about those and the vulnerable, and that makes a hell of a difference, particularly on the streets late at night.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith with Simon Smart and Natasha Moore. That story was from our producer, Karen Tong.
If you're living in Melbourne and you want to know more about the Street Pastors, head to streetpastors.org.au.
To hear more stories like this, you can visit our website, publicchristianity.org, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just type Life and Faith in the search box to find us. While you're there, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other people find our show.
Next week, living with a terminal illness. We hope you'll join us then.